It is a well-known fact that the state governments in Africa are deciding that enough is enough and are moving in to arrest the rot taking place, largely in charismatic churches. The stench cannot be ignored anymore. This has already begun to happen in Kenya under President Uhuru Kenyatta. South Africa and Zambia are also preparing legislation. It will not be long before other African nations join in. Why are national governments beginning to do this? Because their citizens have been sexually raped and financially defrauded by so-called men of the cloth with impunity. Rightly, they can no longer look the other way. Sadly, this predicament is a result of the church doing little to nothing to address the trend. I have my ears to the ground. After all, I live in Africa. I am hearing the church cry foul to the intervention of governments. The cry is that this is a form of persecution by the state because the church is expressing its misgivings about injustices being done by state machinery. To some extent, this is true. However, the question still begs answering. What is the church, especially the charismatic church, doing to stop the rot that is taking place largely within its own ranks? Is it not obvious that the fountain that is pouring out this stream of imposters is the failure in the charismatic circles to regulate who should become a pastor? Pastors are appointing themselves and conferring on themselves titles like apostle or prophet. Anyone can put up a sign saying Signs and Wonders Church International with Apostle Conrad Mbewe, and the church is instantly born. Is that not wrong? Think about this for a moment. To be a president of a country, you must belong to a political party. To stand in national elections, a certain number of people must nominate you, even being required to pay a hefty amount of money. You must also undergo strict screening to ensure that your character is impeccable. Then you must present yourself for elections. If you lose, you cannot be a president. If you contravene the law, you can be impeached by your party or by a court of law. To be a doctor or an architect or a lawyer, you have to go to school in that field for no less than 4 to 5 years. You then have to undergo internship under a seasoned professional in that career. You must also go through licensing examinations. If your mentor does not endorse you or you fail your licensing examinations, you cannot be allowed to practice in that career. If you are ever guilty of professional misconduct, your license can be revoked. Why are presidents, doctors, architects, and lawyers subject to such stringent measures? It is because of the many human lives that are likely to be destroyed if you have the wrong character in such places of authority and influence. The president has the army and the police at his disposal. Imagine what he can do if he is rotten. Doctors look after our lives, architects design our shelters, and lawyers protect our freedoms. Any mistakes these people make can be incredibly costly. Let us now look at pastors, who look after the eternal well-being of our souls. What does it take to be a pastor, especially of a charismatic church? Nothing. There's no school that you need to go to. There's no official mentoring. There are no exams. All you need is a bit of eloquence, swag, and spring in your step. If you can throw in an American or Nigerian accent, that will only be a bonus. Thus, we have individuals who have been total failures in every other area of life who are now making a living as charismatic pastors. Some of them impregnated women outside marriage even before they became men of the cloth. They are already moral failures, and yet they are now in pulpits teaching us how to live. How are these charlatans managing to escape the dragnet despite having such a checkered past? It is simply by claiming that God spoke to them. In charismatic circles, that claim seals the mouths of anyone who tries to prevent such an ignoble character proceeding to pastor a church. Who are you to prevent what God is doing in the life of his anointed one? The only way we are going to address this flood of evil men and impostors filling the pulpits of the land is by a return to the Bible. What does the Bible say? For instance, how did the Apostle Paul become a leader in the church? God spoke to him on the road to Damascus, but was that all? No, Paul himself states that he had to bring his credentials to the church leaders for them to give him the right hand of fellowship as a fellow minister of the gospel. How has it been across history? Exactly the same. Pastors did not appoint themselves. They had to be trained under recognizable tutors. They had to undergo stringent exams on matters of doctrine. They had to undergo character assessments. Only when they had passed all these were they allowed to take holy orders. All this was being done to preserve the souls of the people who they would be overseeing. By claiming that God still speaks to us as individuals, independent of scripture, we have thrown all this away and now quacks are running churches and ruining lives. We have discarded the means to hem them in. How you go in also determines how you go out. If other people appoint a pastor, when he messes up, those people will defrock him. But if a pastor has appointed himself, then the church becomes his personal possession. He is not accountable to anyone. He is untouchable. He can commit adultery and even divorce his legitimate wife in order to marry a sweet 16 he admires in the pew, and he still remains the prophet of the church. Who can dare to kick him out? He will tell you that if you do not want him, you should be the one to go. This is his church. Let us face it, we have failed to address this problem. If the state does not come in, these wolves will consume God's sheep. It is no use crying against the government for overstepping its jurisdiction if the church is not addressing this problem. Magistrates and judges are tired of handling cases of sexual defilement and financial fraud by apostles and prophets, which we are not addressing because we dare not touch the Lord's anointed. Every human being must be accountable to both God in heaven and humans on earth. Pastoral self-appointments must stop. If the church will not regulate who is allowed to become a pastor, then let the state do it. For heaven's sake, someone had better do it before the church becomes the laughingstock on earth and in hell.